Get to Old Navy for star-spangled style. Right now, everything's on sale, up to 60% off. That's right, get everything from tees, shorts, dresses, and swim, all at 60% off. Now till July 7th at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Valid through 7/7, select styles only.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, my name is Daryl Ong, and you're tuned in to the show that brings you closer to the people and places of our capital city. Just last week, in conjunction with Cartoonist Day, the House of Cartoons and Comics Malaysia was launched. 150 cartoonists, comic book artists, animators and illustrators were present at the launch, with big names in the industry such as Datuk Lat, Jaffar Taib, Sulaiman Awang, among many others. The new gallery at the Botanical Gardens aimed to be the home to the nation's rich cartoon and comic book history. Artwork as far back from the 1930s were on display, as well as modern classics such as magazines Gila Gila, Batu Api and Ujang. This week, we pay a visit to the new cultural hub in the heart of the city and speak to Jaffar Taib, who's the main gallery advisor and also the founder of the legendary comic magazine Gila Gila, and Ahmad Hilmi, who goes by the moniker M.I.E. Me, a prominent comic illustrator and also a committee member at RKKM. First up, Jaffar Taib, who play a big part in the local illustration and art industry. He tells us about his time in the local comic art of the yesteryears and also gives us a lowdown on the inception of RKKM.
Back in 1974, when I left school, then I joined a few publications who published the educational books. Yeah. Then after that, I joined Tusan Melayu as an illustrator and also produce a cartoon, illustrate the cartoon for the newspaper of Tusan Melayu, Tusan Malaysia, the Wanita magazine, and the cover book, which published by Tusan at that time. Then when I joined the Variapop group after I left Tusan, so my job only not as an illustrator, but also a graphic, where I learned the graphic art at that time, you know. So this is a great, great experience for me to know the graphic. Then I got the opportunity to publish the magazine independent title, not only insert in the magazine and the newspaper, but independent magazine or comic. I can say it, comic. And then at that time, not much comic in the market. In 1975, we published, we formed a company with Misha, Zainal Buang and Dato' Azman. We published a few independent comics, but not so well, the sale. Then 1978, we decided to publish the Gila Gila. So the first issue, we just published about 9,000 copies only. But it really shocked us because all the copies all sold out.
Were you expecting that kind of response?
No, we didn't expect. And then also we got nervous. Then we have to do a lot of things outside by ourselves. So by a few months later, we start to groom a new artist, and then we got more manpower. Few hundred of them, where they are turned to professional artists or cartoonists now in the country.
Yeah.
Very successful. Yeah. Then the magazine surprisingly increased to the maximum quantities, about 200,000 copies. Then we publish it fortnightly. Then altogether, a month is about 400,000 copies.
I mean, when you think of indie comics nowadays, the first thing that pop up will be Gila Gila. I mean, you guys have been at the top of the game for very long, and you guys are still going on now.
Oh, I still got full confidence, you know, even with the new technology, and then plus the indies. So I still believe and confidence this type of magazine like Gila Gila, they can go on.
So you definitely are the spokesperson for the Malaysian indie arts, and you came to work with RKKM. Can you just tell me how that happened?
The president of the RKKM, Juragan, he came to me and talked to me about his idea to establish RKKM, okay? I say that is a good idea. But one thing, a lot of this cartoon, the original, he need to display it here, to keep it here in my hand.
Yeah, I mean, we had a look inside a whole range of comics from the 30s and 70s. And like you said, rare original copies of the comics. So all these were with you before this?
Yeah. So not all. I can say is about 60% because we got to find another source, you know. I can say a lot of cartoonists, their work is with me, the original. So I don't mind. I say, if you really can do it, I can lend you all these things. The original, I would like some lard, naan. It's a very rare and very difficult. And cabai and a few other things. Yeah. So Juragan, RKKM try to track all these people. Some still alive, some is already passed away. So track the family. But luckily, some managed to get back a few of their work, original work. So now, still a lot, you know. Try to look back for the 1929. I heard there are one comic published independently. As a title, I so don't remember, but published in this country by our local people. So we try to get back that comic. And also in 1940s, you know, during Second World War, this is not in my hand, the gila-gila. So we try to get contact with all the families or whatever, you know, try to get back as much as we can.
And it does look beautiful. I mean, you have a whole range of collections in there. So you display art, but what would you say is the main goal and purpose of RKKM?
So we try to archive all this, you know, for the next generation. Besides, the artists can meet each other, maybe we can all talk, discuss or exchange ideas. We can use this place also, this Rumah RKKM, as a gallery. So people can come and look at, you know, 40, 50 years ago, 60 years ago, the work, you know, in the country, how it looked like. Because we planned this house not only for the exhibition, to show the work of these great artists, and also as a place where the student, when the school holiday, they can come here and then to expose themselves. I mean, and to expose the art, comic art, to all these students, you know. Yeah. And also, maybe the student from the college, they can make a research here. You know, after a few months, maybe we have almost complete all the history and everything about cartoon development in the country since 1929. They can come here, they can search, they can get everything.
What were some of the biggest challenges when, I mean, RKKM opened about a week ago? How long was this planning the process, and what were some of the biggest challenges that you encountered?
A very short time. It's about only 1 month to prepare the renovation and everything, the setup.
Even to source the pieces?
Source the pieces because majority from my hand. And the others, we just call. Some of them, they are very corporate, you know. They give their artwork or their comic, whatever they got in their stock, you know. So it's easier in that sense, you know, to prepare all the materials for the display here. Yeah,
we have a rich history of comics. But that being said, I think comic artists, they don't get the same glamour or recognition as, say, a musician or a painter even would get. Do you think that comic artists, you know, today and of the yesteryears, do you guys feel underappreciated?
I don't think. Because not many artists can reach to that level. If another few artists they can reach to that level, yeah, I think that is normal, you know, same like a film star or singers, you know.
So in your opinion, what sets apart this group of people from the rest? How did Lard become such a great icon, and why can't other people follow him?
This is professionalism. Even though you got a talent and then you got the skill and gifted, but with the right mentality. If you got wrong mentality or mindset, you cannot go far. So for the artist, they have to focus. They got to think seriously in their career, professionalism, and they have to be knowledgeable in everything they want to do. Because you got to educate the readers also. You know, that is our obligation as a media.
Yeah.
Not just you can draw, you just draw. There are a lot of people can draw in the country, but what they want to put inside.
Yeah, exactly. I think what Lat does very well is he teaches about Malaysia not just to us locals but to foreigners as well. They introduce Malaysia to foreigners. How important do you think is that aspect in art, putting in a message, sending out a message to the public?
Look at the Gila-Gila, you know. Even that is a cartoon magazine. And a lot of competition at that time. But Gila-Gila can stand their own because the concept is totally different than others. Not only entertainment, but in Gila-Gila, you can find a lot of, you know, satire, yeah? And also a lot of things critique ourselves, you know, and then we laugh, we smile, but indirectly, actually, direct to you, you know. So this is quite difficult to the artist to get the ideas, you know, the other way around, you know. You can attack the people, but they never feel it, but they smile, you know.
Indirectly,
you know, like what you see a lot. Is doing, you know. So he's a very sharp and observe anything around him, any situation, any event. He's a very sharp. And then he make a research. Then he present it in cartoon.
How important is it to find your own way of, your own style of telling stories, of telling, of drawing comics?
It's very important to the artist. You have to create your own characters, your own columns, you know. Compared and others cannot be the same or similarity. You have to find out the way to develop your own character, your own column, and then your own concept, you know. Like myself also, I did the jungle joke since the Gila-Gila until today. It's about 39 years, you know. Because other artists, they are busy with, you know, human characters, all this and that. So I find different way. You know, create the animal, create the characters, and actually, it's like a human being, actually, you know. And also the political cartoon. I did a few ministers at that time. But no problem. You can criticize them, but in the proper way, okay? Without direct, you know, whether you got a proof or not, you don't know. But what you heard, you just attack. So this is not the right way to me, you know.
So even as comic artists, you have a responsibility to tell the right story.
One former minister, he can talk a few languages in the world. He told me he learned the German by the comic, reading the comic. So same thing with Gila-Gila. A lot of the people, readers, when I met them, he told me I learned reading from the Gila-Gila because I forced myself to understand the joke. So I got to force myself to understand the language. So this is the simple example where comic can contribute to the nation.
And RKKM is definitely a site where everyone can enjoy these things. Where do you see the future of RKKM going? You know, where do you hope that the gallery and the museum would
become? First thing, this gallery have to make it bigger. We have to extend.
Yeah, it's a little small, but there's a lot of things in there.
Yeah, a lot of things there. But we got a lot of the artwork, a lot of things we're going to show here and keep it here. So I want the people who come here, they cannot finish in one day, you know, to see the artwork display here, yeah, and so many things here. So this is more, I think, meaningful and worth to the people who come here. Yeah? Even they are the education people, or the fans of comic and cartoon, and also the layman, you know. It's really meaningful in their life, you know. At least they can come here complete.
I think one thing everyone has in common is that at one point of our lives, we're always involved in comics. We either read them or consume them.
So I think this is... comic is a very important. It will survive, you know, until the end of the world. Because comic is in between from the book and the movie. When you read the book, it's very thick, and then you got to understand all the paragraph by paragraph, and then you can imagine yourself, you need to imagine yourself. Different people who read the same book, the same paragraph, his imagination may be different, you see. By the comic, it's a very easy. People all got one imagination from the comic there. Save their time rather reading the books. So same like this former minister told me, I learned the German by the comics.
That was Jaafar Taib, who's the main gallery advisor for the House of Cartoon and Comic Malaysia. He's also the founder of the popular comic book magazine Gila Gila. Coming up, we speak to Ahmad Hilmi, also known as M.I.E. Me, about the comic art of the yesteryears. Stay tuned. My name's Daryl Ong. This is I Love KL, right here on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, this is I Love KL, the show that brings you closer to the people and places of our capital city. My name's Daryl Ong. This week, we pay a visit to the new cultural hub in the city, the House of Cartoon and Comic Malaysia, a gallery that houses about 500 pieces of work as far back as the 1930s. Before the break, we found out more about this exciting new gallery with Jaafar Taib, the main gallery advisor. And now to tell us more about the comic art from the yesteryears, we hear from prominent illustrator Ahmad Hilmi, also known as Me, who's the committee member at RKKM. You've been involved in cartooning for a long time. You're also a full-time architect. Can you tell us a little bit more about your background and a bit about your history?
Okay, thank you, Daryl. I remember I started drawing cartoon during my student years, where money was a problem becoming an architecture student, where you have to buy your tools, paper, some materials for models and things like that. So I was trying to get some extra money by sending cartoons to the publisher of a few magazines in the market, like Gila Gila, Batok Api, Ujang, Geli Hati, so on and so forth. So I tried out by sending my cartoon to Gila Gila and Batok Api. And fortunately, the publisher of Batok Api, I remember the name is Misha, asked me to continue drawing cartoons about campus life, because that is the best thing I know, because I was a student by that time. And they were looking for something quite different in their magazine. So the story about campus is quite rare at that time. Not people know much on, campus life and things like that. So I started to crack my head looking for good script to draw cartoons on campus life. That's how everything began.
But before this, what drew your interest into cartooning? What were you studying in uni and how did you suddenly branch out to that?
Talking about interest, I started having interest in cartoon during my childhood time. When I was 10 years old, 12 years old, I loved to read cartoon. So my father got to spend money on buying cartoon materials like magazine, books, newspapers. So I remember looking at large cartoon in Dewan Pelajar back in 1970 when I was in Standard 3. And I started to tell myself one day I want to be just like large, because I like to draw a cartoon, the exercise books and everything was full of my cartoon and sketches until I was scolded, and sometimes I was punished by my teacher. For sketching unnecessary things into my exercise book. Right. And then when I was in Form 3, 15 years old, I sent cartoon out of the boredom with a study in a boarding school. I sent my cartoon to an entertainment magazine, and I thought it's easier for my cartoon to be appeared there. Because when I sent cartoon previously to some magazine, they were rejected and never appeared to be printed and things like that. So my first cartoon was published in 1976 when I was in Form 3 by a magazine. Until now, they have that magazine around, URTV by Utusan. So that was my single piece of cartoon appeared. I never care about having to be paid or things like that. But I was so proud to be having my sketch in a magazine like that.
So I'm sure you have it framed up and all that, your first cartoon.
I am bad at keeping things. Moving here and there, I think I have lost the masterpiece somewhere. But I can still remember what I drew and I can reproduce anytime I want.
Does drawing now, you're still in the industry, still in the arts. Does drawing comics now kind of remind you of your childhood, remind you of your teen years?
My genre of my cartoons is about life. And most of the funny things happened to me during my childhood time, during my student years in universities and during my everyday life. Was recorded into cartoon. And the best way to remember what happens to you is just like writing a diary by drawing cartoons. And of course, I pick up some humorous incident happened in my life into cartoon. That's how I keep on drawing, because everything happened to me is in my mind, and I just transfer it into papers to make it into a book later on as for the next generation to look.
Does it feel weird? You just mentioned it's like a diary of your life. Does it feel weird being, so transparent about your life, telling everyone, what's going on?
Of course, you have to be selective, okay? So not every incident you have to draw, right? and things that you wanted to share with your children, with your friends, families, and the next generation, then you draw it as a nostalgic incident in your life. And of course, it is not very transparent. Some has been put into fiction kind of thing, right. Only based on true story. Like cooking, you got to put in some spices and things like that to make it more attractive and excited.
For you personally, what is the best aspect about the comic? Is it the story or is it the artwork? What would make a great comic good?
I think both and everything. You have to have a good storyline to tell before you draw. And the drawing has got to be good looking. People love to see, even though if you have good stories, but it is being drawn badly, the straw and everything is not very neat and never attract people to have a look, then it is not successful. But if you draw nicely without a good storyline, people tend to remember only your stroke, but not the stories. So you have to be both. Or maybe you have to be add-on that they have to be published in the right place, right time, and things like what happened to Lat. He appeared in the world of cartoons in a very right time and right place. He drew in straight times, where most people read newspaper, not just the Malay, the Indian, the Chinese, all races, and also the international people can understand because the cartoon is in English. Accessible. So he got accessibility is very wide. So he got a very good opportunity there. Like other cartoonists, maybe they draw in Chinese newspaper, maybe they draw in Tamil newspaper. They only been known by a group of a smaller ethnic, you know. So same here, if you draw comics, it must be published by a good publisher who distributed your comics well throughout the country or maybe abroad and things like that. But if you have a publisher who only publish your comics, but the circulation is not good, maybe for KL only, so people outside KL never have a chance to have a look at your artwork or things like that.
So exposure to your art is one thing, but like you said, taking you back to the question previously, the roles in comic drawings. Nowadays, you have storytellers, you have artists, and then you have a graphic designer, and then the publisher. Back then, it wasn't like that, right?
Yeah, it wasn't like that. You have to do everything. You are the storyteller, you are the artist. Sometimes you are the editor to your own works, and you publish it by yourself. It's a one-man show. But you cannot stand for longer. You have to have assistance. You have to have legacy for that. Somebody has got to assist you so that it can become a bigger industry.
Other than that, what would you say are some of the major differences in the comics today than the yesteryears?
Well, people were talking about this with the cyber kind of thing, with digital comes in to replace all the manual or conventional way of drawing cartoons. The difference is so obvious that nowadays the youngsters never use or seldom use pencil, pen and paper anymore. They use their gadget. They use digital kind of thing. They draw it digitally, colour it digitally, and they don't have a piece of paper except when the drawing is being printed. So that is the great difference between now and then.
Would you say that's a good thing for the industry?
It's a good thing that you are involved in something quite fast, efficient. But everything is not good as what they used to be doing. Manually, they can keep the artwork. But now they only keep in the computer. When being asked, where is your original works? They don't have. Because everything digitized. They only have digital. And to some artists, to some manual artists or old-timer, they never like to have everything in digital. They draw it manually and they scan it. Maybe they color or they adjust, enhance it, and they're using computer. So it's good, but not everything.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same case with e-books now, right? People like reading books on their Kindle and stuff, but nothing will beat the touch of a paper.
That's right. This is one of the problems faced by the publisher now. Some of the publisher of the comic books has been closed down, like Ujang. MOY has been closed down because of the circulation of the book is not as great as before. Because most youngsters nowadays prefer to have their iPhone, their smartphone, to be reading all the news, looking at cartoons, website and things like that. And they also don't read newspaper anymore. If you notice now, the circulation of newspaper dropped tremendously from hundreds of thousands into a few thousand only. And the one who read newspaper is only the pakcik, makcik and all the old guys. But the younger generation, they go through blogs, websites. And there are so many reporters out there writing in the social media. So they get the source of news and everything from there and never look at newspapers anymore.
But, you know, I feel that has to be a way to innovate things. I mean, with the digital age, your comics can reach to the other side of the world with just a click of a mouse.
Yeah, now there are some effort being done by a group of people to digitize most of the comic book into e-books or e-comics or things like that. That is one aspect. The other aspect is to make a printed book or hard copy comics that very much related to links to computer or internet by having some interactive coding and things like that. We have Bekazun. Bekazun is a magazine produced by youngsters who have normal comics, but every page, if you want to see more about the making of the comic, you want to see the moving part of the comic, they can scan the barcode and also the PR code to be more interactive. So that forced one person, the fan, to go to the Mamak store to buy the hard copy in order to be interactive with the cyber world.
That's one way to link both worlds, right?
That's right. I think you need to be creative to survive alive in this field.
You talk about KSR Campus and how it was, you know, inspired by your uni life and your campus life. What are you inspired by now?
Now it's more about family. You have children. Later on, maybe I will have my grandchildren, not very long from now. So most of my story now is around living as an adult, you know, having a problem of mid-age problems and things like that, and looking at the youngsters and the way you comment and compare how the life was, I mean, enjoyed in the past and how they enjoy their life now. So the difference, sometimes I drew it into a book in Bawan, is to look back at what you were doing as a child during my time as compared to what they are having now. It's very much different. And if they look at my book, they will ask their parents, what is this? What is that? You know, and their parents has got a very hard time to explain. And that is one of the intention why I drew that sort of cartoon in Imbawan.
Do you think it's important for comic artists today to include social current issues into their work?
That is what is lacking now. I have spoken to the old-timer like Datuk Lat and even Jaafar Taib. At the moment, the cartoonist and also the comic artist are more interested of doing something like fiction, you know, science fiction, like empty joke like that, you know, just talking about how to make people laugh, which is not very good. As a cartoonist, you have to deliver and send some message around. And I think that is what they want now. They just want to laugh and things like that. Even I'm not denying that there's some facts that some new cartoonists draw something to benefit people, like they are having cartoons telling stories about school children, the problem in the school and things like that. I don't deny they have that kind, but not many, not as much as cartoon. Some influenced by cartoon imported from abroad, imported from Japan, from China, manga, you know, anime and things like that. Those are what they like. Those are the trending now that you cannot beat easily.
Do you think that comics today should have that kind of element, or should it be left as, you know, a purist, kind of just a humor realm?
I cannot go against the trending, but as a cartoonist, I may try or give some effort to stay alive in the industry. I may gather some follower and make some changes, if not full, so that the youngsters would also realise that what is good, what is bad, what is for them and what is for their father and grandfather last time. And this is a very difficult task for me to be survive in this digital or cyber world. But that is a challenge to everybody.
Have you ever thought of, you know, in a way, adapting and just conforming to the digital world?
I've tried, but I cannot get to the fullest. Only here and there. Of course, my cartoon now, even though I draw it manually, but I have to scan it using Photoshop. I have got to touch here and there, make things clearer, sharper, and things like that. And then send it through email to my publisher. That is part of the modern era. I don't go and, you know, start my car and send my cartoon to any publisher anymore.
How effective is comics in getting a message across? I mean, comparing it to, say, a 500-word essay, right? There's just something about comics that leaves the mind open, leaves you to your own thoughts instead of tying all loose ends.
Okay, if you have to compare an essay and a comic book, the youngsters may prefer the comic books because to read is harder than to look at and understand. If you can combine all the text into a comic, I think the youngsters would prefer to have a comic to look through the pictures, the illustration, the cartoon, and then they read what is written there, rather than having to face one full page of writing up, you know, the essay. So it's about interest. So how to gather the interest. Even the content or the gist inside what is written and the cartoon is the same. Preference comes into, you know, when you are young, of course, when you get a book, you look through your book, the first thing you saw was the pictures, not what is written below. That's the difference between when you are conveying one message to the youngsters or to the present generation. They are more interested in looking at something with illustration that will catch their eyes first before the write-up. I think there is another branch of art illustration. Some illustration can be of cartoon, some just common illustration. But that normally being put together with the write-up just to give what relax to your mind reading too long an article and to assist a reader to imagine things easier.
Last question, is there any advice you like to give to aspiring artists nowadays? People are living in a digital age, but is there any tips from the yesteryears that you could give to them?
My tips is easy. It's a common and general tips. If you do something, you must like what you are doing. You must put your passion inside there. Passion and passion. Okay. So when you like something, what you are doing, you will be committed. When you are committed to do something, you must not care about how much you're getting, but to satisfy yourself, number one. Number two, then comes to the thinking of what you're getting, how much you're going to be paid and things like that. So when you love doing something and you are getting paid for that, and that is the one that people are looking everywhere.
Do you think that being a comic artist is viable in today's comic?
Yeah, it is one of the profession you can pick from. If you are on the right track, if you know the right place to contribute your cartoon and you get it on the right time, you can be successful as well, other profession as well.
That was Ahmad Hilmi, also known as Me, the committee member at the newly opened House of Cartoon and Comic Malaysia. To find out more about this new exciting gallery, do head over to www.facebook.com/Rumah Cartoonist Malaysia. That's facebook.com/Rumah Cartoonist Malaysia. That brings us to the end of the show, but if you'd like to check out the interviews again, do head over to our website www.pfm.my/ILoveKL, or you can download our new improved app via Google Play or the App Store. My name's Daryl Ong, and you have been tuning in to I Love KL, the show that brings you closer to the people and places of our capital city. Join us again next week right here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn, ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn, tell people to stay off the lawn, compare it to your neighbor's lawn, and complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.